Father God, we thank you so much for the call that you put on our lives to not just be followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, but to be active and involved in Christian community as followers of you, because your word teaches that none of us are islands, none of us can do this on our own, just, yeah, me and God, let's take on the world, but we're called to link arms together, and so many of your followers, Lord, are given that gift, that spiritual gift of encouragement, so that in the hard days, in the tough walks, that we can know who to go to and get a reminder of a scripture, a reminder of a promise that you have made to comfort us in a time of need. So God, I do pray that we be that kind of community, and that you will show us how to create the avenues through which that can be more and more true in everything that we do, so that I don't just stand up here and say, hey, this is what we are, and find out that it's not, but that we can truly be that kind of community as we make and guide each other to become better, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So God, I thank you so much for everyone that's here, Lord, and I trust you that Holy Spirit comes like the promise that you make, that where two or more are gathered, that you are here. So Lord, we love you and we praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Well, I don't know if anybody spilled or not while I was away, but what Kinsley and I did is we went on a journey last week to the big city of Myrtle Beach. So I don't know. I know a lot of you guys enjoy Myrtle Beach. You like going down there. It's very nice, very family friendly. It's the third time I've been there, second time with my wife's family. And there's one thing that was hard about Myrtle Beach that we kind of questioned whether or not this was the year or not, because we've got really little kids. And that thing, of course, is that you spend an entire day in the car, right? So if you Google map it to the resort we went to, it was 11 hours and 5 minutes from our front door. So if you know much about kids, that means like 16 hours and 5 minutes. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. We're a little bit unsure. But I can tell you, our kids actually did surprisingly well. We were pretty excited about it. Adler did a really good job. He's one. He did a really good job of just like staring. Like, I was impressed. I'm just like, he doesn't want a toy. He just wants to stare. And you can't conceptualize it, right? He's just sitting in the car. Elam, we knew he was bored when we were on our way home, and we were about to Altoona, and he said, please turn off my movie. I just want to play with my shoe. So boredom was setting in, right? Like, just want to play with my shoe. But one of the things that I learned, and this is relevant, I promise, this isn't just story time about guys' vacation. This is relevant. One of the things that I learned was the difference between a child, a little child, three and under, that's all I know. You can tell me how much harder it gets, right? But three and under, what I learned, little children in the car is different than adult in the car. Drastically contrasts, okay? Because I know that some of you, some people that I've ridden with, some husbands out there that drive with their wives, where if you would look at the floor mat on the passenger side, you would think that that floor mat had come from the driver's side, because there's a worn spot from the passenger hitting the brakes every 5 minutes, or every time they think that you're going to hit something, or think that you're not braking fast enough. This anxious passenger that wishes that they could press a secret button and have their own steering wheel pop out of the dashboard and take control, right? That person. So one of the experiences that I had on our trip was having some adults in the third row. See, we're a legit family now. We drive a minivan, you know? So we're in the family mode 100%, okay? And I absolutely love it. You can ask Kinsley. We'd have been driving a van from the day we got married if I'd have known how sweet it was, right? So I had an experience where we put adults in the third row of the minivan. And I don't know how this works, but you put adults in the third row that know where you're going. They can see past you and see the turn long before you get there and make sure that they point it out. And they seem to, even though you have the front row, you see how far it is to that car that's turning on their brake lights. It just so happens that they think that you're waiting too long to brake, even though they're farther away, so they're going to tell you about it. Because they know that their life is in your hands. You want to know how much of that happened with two sons in the car for two full days from them? Zero. Zero. They played, they talked, they laughed at each other, they slept, they just stared. Adler actually rides backwards right now, has no clue where we're going. He's just looking at where we've been. And so here's the difference. The difference is the word trust. Trust. Adults grow up, we get control. We see the risk, we see the fear, we see the potential, we see 100,000 other cars on the highway and we think, just take one of these cars and I could find myself in the hospital. So you are constantly watching, constantly thinking, guy's driving, do I trust guy? Can guy do it? Is he gonna get me to the restaurant? But the kids, dad has always got me to the restaurant. It's just how it works. Why would I worry about it? I trust mom and dad. They're always there for me. The difference, the drastic contrast between an adult and a child. So my question for you today, my challenge, my invitation for you today to ask yourself, do you trust God like a child or an adult? Do you trust God? How do you trust God? What type of trust do you have in your Heavenly Father, in your Lord and Savior? Do you completely trust Him as you come to Him? Say, no matter what happens, I know you got this. Or do you live on edge and live with this constant state of anxiety of you know what? God's got me just a little bit too far, but I don't know if He can take me the whole way. He got me this far, but I don't know if He can take me this way. I've been following Him as a Christian for 40 years, and He's always come through. But now that I'm facing disease, or now that I see that as I am aging, that I see, I'm realizing day in and day out, and day in and day out, and day in and day out, I see my mortality setting in, and the realization that I do not live forever in this life. Now I look at my life and I say, do I trust God with the journey from this life to the next? Is He gonna get me there? Do you trust God all the way to eternity? Or do you find yourself constantly hitting the brakes, constantly reminding God that there's a turn up here and I think we should take it, even though God knows better, right? Do you trust God like a little child or like an anxious adult? I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you've got one with you. We're going to go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we're just going to read three little verses on our approach. It is connected to the verse that you see on that beautiful colored crown on your bulletin and behind me. So here's what it says, Luke 18, starting in verse 15, just 15, 16, and 17. It says, now they were bringing even infants to Him, Him being Jesus, of course, bringing infants to Him that He might touch them. And when the disciples saw that, they rebuked Him. So the disciples see it and they say, what is with all these children? Now, there's a lot of cultural context that builds into this where we say, well, children are looked down on a little bit more than maybe they are in our modern day American culture, where the disciples just say, hey, listen, Jesus is a busy man. Listen, look at all these people that are following Him. Look at all these things that He's doing and all these things He says He's going to do. And you're sending all these little children over here to sit on His lap. So the disciples see it and they're like, ah, no, 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 no. Get out of here. this isn't about you. He's got more important things to do, right? So they rebuked him. But Jesus called to them, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. We actually have that written on the window of our nursery up there. Let the children come to me, for to little children belong the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, hey, let's welcome them. Let's welcome them. I love them. They're important to me. So then he says this. He says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That's a little bit of a slap in the face sometimes as an adult, because we think, well, how can I get myself to that state of mind? How can I lower myself to that kind of trust? So I'll offer you this. This is in Luke chapter 18. Here's what's happening in Luke chapter 18. We see we really see kind of strung together. We see a number of brief incidents of parables and of people coming into Jesus's ministry, into his life as he's walking about. And here are some familiar stories. If you're familiar with scripture, you'll recognize these stories. If you're not, that's okay, because I'll just hit them real quick. Here's what's happening. In Luke 18, we read of Jesus's story of the persistent widow where he was teaching to be persistent and perseverant and patient in prayer. And then we have Jesus' story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we get from that the basic truth that those who acknowledge that they are sinners, those who humble themselves and acknowledge that they are sinners, that I have offended and broken the heart of my holy and perfect creator, that person will rely on God's mercy and therefore experience forgiveness. We see the response of the rich young ruler when Jesus tells him to walk away from his incredible amount of wealth and to give it away to the poor and to follow Jesus. We see his response to say no thank you and go back to his life. And then we see Jesus giving freely to a blind beggar who cries out for mercy. And then it's in this same passage that Jesus shares with his disciples that his death is coming. And then we get this excerpt that we just read, that complete reliance on God is emphasized in Jesus' response to the little children. All of this compiled together like the song that we just sang, to simply say, to simply remind us, if I'd boil it all down to just six little words, is the way up is still down. The way up is still down. The way up is still down. The way to God is to humble yourself. The way to reach heaven is to get on your knees, admit that you're a sinner, and accept mercy, and accept forgiveness, and receive forgiveness. It's those oxymorons of Christianity, that I humble myself, I make myself like a little child, so that I can receive the kingdom of God. How beautiful is that? It's so simple that in our adult minds, we can't figure it out. It's so simple that in the I'm in control, I got to fix everything state of our minds as adults, we can't figure it out. Because we're all about achieve, achieve, achieve. Me, 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 my title, my job, my career, my life. What did I do? What can I do? And Jesus just says, the way up is down. So let's talk a little bit about what this kind of looks like. So how do you receive the kingdom of God like a child? And I'm going to give you some examples here because it's one of those things. This is one of those concepts that's like, it's profound, but yet it's incredibly simple to the point that we can't grasp it. So it's simply, so to receive the kingdom of God like a child, I simply need to trust. have this simple trusting attitude that a child shows an adult that they depend on. And Jesus wants his followers to be like that. He wants us to just trust him, to delight in him in prayer, to get on our knees before him and say, you are everything I need, by you, through you, and for you, and I exist to increase you and decrease myself. John the Baptist said that, increase Jesus and decrease myself. He wants us to rely on him and to trust him explicitly. Children do that all the time with the adults that love them. And we as believers, how much more should we have that attitude towards Jesus? Because I had a small hand in creating my kids. But I can't just go create more. Like, well, wake up. God created them. And he loves them. And God created us, and he loves us, and he is our Lord, and he is our Savior. But God wants us to come before him as children, because children are innocent and pure and uncorrupted hearts, and they just trust. Let me give you a quick highlight of some qualities of children, and then I want to show you some pictures. A little child is innocent. A little child is trusting. A little child believes without complication. They just believe. Come on, just believe. Stop, over, study it, divide it, think about it, challenge it, but don't overcomplicate it. Just believe. A child believes without complication. A little child hasn't had time to allow these preconceived notions of the world to form his decision-making process. There's just uncorrupted. It's beautiful. See, a child receives with joy, forgetting himself or herself with this lighthearted abandonment. It's just this joy. Jesus loves me. This I know. A little child is humble. A little child is content in all things, no matter how big or no matter how small. A little child has the faith to move mountains. A little child is awed by majestic splendor. And this, a little child, the last one, a little child takes to heart God's word in all of its simplicity. A little child takes to heart God's word with all of its simplicity. And yet we read a scripture and we think, God didn't really mean that. You know, if I turn a few pages over, I can find a scripture that contrast this, so clearly God's sitting on the fence with this one, right? So we just dive in and dive in and dive in to the point where we don't believe any of it. But a little child who comes, receives the kingdom of God, just says, you know, I know that your word is deep. I know that your word is wide. I know that people a whole lot smarter than me have been fighting over what this means for 2,000 years. Pretty good odds that I'm not going to get the answer. So I'm just going to trust you because I believe that you saved my soul and I believe that this is your unchanging word of God. Inspired. We can debate and debate and debate, but a child takes God's word in its beautiful simplicity. I want to show you some pictures. Kate just recently with the kids did... She had to make some paintings that she showed me when I got back from the beach. She showed me these and I just really loved them. So I decided they fit so well into this message that I wanted to share them with you guys. She took scriptures and these little like eight, just like a paper size piece of painting cardboard and she gave them a scripture and she just gave them some paint and said, paint what this scripture makes you think of. And she gave them one example, but other than that, she just, paint what this makes you think of. And I love the beautiful simplicity of this, and we'll see if we can understand some of what's happening. So here they are. This first one, it says, he will cover you with his wings. Under the feathers of his wings, you will find safety. He is faithful. He will keep you safe like a shield. I don't know exactly what's happening there, but there's some kind of shield wing thing going on over top of like a cat dragon or something. But with a mane, but it's cool. So if this is one of your kids, good job. All right, next. This one says, "My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Next one. "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in the whole earth." Now, there's a lot of kind of ways you could see that, but it's definitely majestic. It's got some gold in there. It looks like there's some kind of like Narnia lion in there, I think. I don't know if it's like you're an exhibit and you're trying to figure out what's happening. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise the Lord for his glory and strength." This I love. It's almost like you could take this as a receiving the Holy Spirit kind of fire from heaven type of thing. All right. "God created me in me a pure heart. Give me a new spirit that is faithful to you." It's like kind of that cool picture of God cleaning a heart, making a heart new. I think that's beautiful and simple. Next. "Come to me, all you who are tired and carrying heavy loads. I will give you rest." This I like. This I see as kind of like there's a house and somebody is resting in that house. So this is kind of that God is my safe place. God is my refuge. Whenever I have heavy loads, I can go. And if you look real close, you can see it. It almost looks like someone is sitting on a couch in there. So looks pretty cool. And one more, I think. This one is, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." Kate said she asked this kid what it meant, what was happening, and he refused to answer. So this might be a legit artist on the rise. Won't interpret it for you, but it's pretty cool. I don't know if that's God juggling everything for us or if that's just God is in control or it's all the many pieces of life. But I love those. I really like that thing there. And it's kind of neat just to think about, like, what do you picture in your mind when you read God's scripture? What comes to you in the simplicity and the beauty of what God is saying? To see that window into a kid's life. See, we need to go before God as a child, because as adults, we have this tendency to become cynical with age, but a child hasn't really been touched yet. Most children, prayerfully all children, that haven't been touched by the concerns and the pains of this world, but we're called to be childlike, to be meek and submissive and dutifully follow God and just blindly say, not in an uneducated, ignorant way necessarily, but a blind way of just saying, God, I trust you with where you're leading me. I trust you that you have my good in mind. So we go before God as a child, and we go before God stripped of our sins and stripped of our doubts with this full wide-eyed inspiration that comes from placing total faith and total dependency and total surrender on him and say, God, I know that you got this. So if you ask the question, is God going to be there when I need him? Is God going to be there when life gets tough? Is God going to be there whenever the wind blows, when things get hard? Is God going to be there when I have doubts and I don't know what to do? When I have big decisions or little decisions? Is God really going to be there? He's been there before, but will he be there today? A child would simply say, yes. Yes. God has never let me down. Now, maybe God's been silent. Now, maybe God's teaching me something that I don't really know that I need to learn. Maybe God's allowing this suffering and this pain because God knows that through this pain, I'm going to become more the person he called me to be, and then therefore I'm going to help other people. And if I didn't go through this, then it wouldn't happen. Maybe God's got a plan that's bigger than any of us can see, but a child would just say, yes, I trust God. He made me and he saved me. Why would he pull back now? That's not the God I see. To go before God as a child is to expect awe-inspiring greatness. I expect it. I expect miracles. I expect healing. I expect joy unspeakable, right? I expect it because that's the God that I serve. I expect awe-inspiring greatness, to think of God and as a child would think about his parents, that a child full of innocence will come to their father or their mother, trusting them to completely take care of them, to protect them and provide for them and to correct them when they are wrong. Nobody likes that one. And expect them to trust and to love and to cherish. Jesus simply says, if we boil this all down, Jesus just wants to say, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Jesus is telling us that we need to have this type of trust and faith in the Father, because after all, we are his children. As believers, we are children of God. Think about trusting God. Peter trusted Jesus when he went out, stepped out and was walking on water. And then for the moment he looked away, he then reached up and grabbed Jesus' hand. But he trusted God. And when things got tough and he started to sink and he started to doubt, he reached up and Jesus was there. One of the things that we learned that was exciting on our drive back from Myrtle Beach is we found out that the South is dotted with Chick-fil-A's. Did you guys know that? Lots of Chick-fil-A's to choose from in the South. Chick-fil-A's and Baptist churches, that's the South, right? Life is good. So we stopped on our way home to this at this Chick-fil-A, and they have climbers in there, these big playgrounds inside, and Elam just loves them. But he's at this age where he's big enough to go in, but he's not necessarily big enough to do everything, which means he tries to do everything, but then he gets himself in a situation. That's what I tell him. It's just like he drives his car in the backyard. If he runs into something, he's like, Dad, I'm in a situation. That's what I've been working on. Like, buddy, you're in a situation, call God, call guy. Right? That's what we do. That's our order of operation. In a situation, call God, call guy. So he finds himself in a situation. He climbs to the top of the climber, way up in on these like jagged steps where you kind of go back and forth, and there's the only way to get down is to come down the spinning slide that he's afraid of, or back down, which is looking pretty scary too. He sits up there for minutes just screaming for my help. With all these other parents around, I mean, this thing is made for like 7-year-olds and down, right? I mean, I'm 6'2", but I had no choice but to climb up through there, and he's sitting at the top crying his eyes out. But he knew, I had to do this twice actually. And then Kinsley laughed her butt off when I came down the slide, because I had to. But he's up there crying his eyes out, but he knew, there was no doubt in his mind that Daddy was coming. Because Daddy's always come. Do you trust God like that? Do you trust God like that? Are you fully trusting him without doubt, knowing that he loves and he cares for you? 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." As followers of Christ, we are children of God, and like a child, we should come before the Father, fully trusting his word, fully engaged in his spirit, fully open to his love and his commandments, so that we will be changed and repent and leave our baggage and leave our anxiety at the feet of Jesus and just trust him, because he's got wide open arms waiting for us. Do you trust God that way today? The way up is still down. The way to the top is still humility. It's still simplicity. Learn as much as you can. but you still are called to the humble, simple heart of a child as we come before our Maker. Would you pray with me as the worship team comes? If anybody wants to talk or pray, the altars are always here for you, open for prayer. And we got lots of people here that would love to pray with you if you want that. Father God, thank you for the call to come before you as little children, to simply trust you. Lord, help us to trust you, because I know that as adults, and I know that as an adult with responsibility myself, it is hard to put all of that out of my mind and just say, I know you got this, God. I find myself more often than not stressing about something and then just turning around and saying, you know what, God, I trust you. You've always come through. Why am I stressing today? So Lord, if there's anything here that any of us need to lay at your feet and trust you with it and go about our day knowing that you're in control, Lord, I ask that you'll bring it to the forefront of our hearts and our minds so that we can come to the altar and just hand it back. In Jesus' name, amen.